Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Christmas Lights and Catfights by Heather Widener. Narrated by Aaron DeWard. Chapter 1. Wednesday.
Jules! Hey! Woohoo! Jules!
A shrill voice echoed above all the noise in the town square. A svelte woman in a leopard-print ski jacket waved her arms and ran in heels toward Jules Keen. Jules paused with her setup preparations and pushed a red curl that had escaped from her ponytail off of her face.
"Hi, Tabby. What can I do for you?"
"Your partner for this holiday festival thingy is so unreasonable. In fact, she's arbitrary and capricious. I paid my vendor fees, and I shouldn't be treated like this."
Tabby put both hands on her hips, planted her feet, and shook her long brown curls that framed her face like a lion's mane. Her puffy parka and black stiletto suede boots projected a hipster vibe, but the tiny parentheses surrounding her mouth gave away her true age.
"I'm sorry. What are you talking about?"
Jules closed the three-ring binder that had the assigned locations for all the vendors for Fern Valley's Christmas extravaganza. Tabby Morris made a harumphing sound and let out a deep breath.
"That woman, Elaine, is impossible. I paid to have 4 trailers here, and I've committed to having workers staff them for the entire weekend. And now she's telling me that I can't use the sidewalk. She put me on the edge of the square where there's virtually no traffic. She's policing the grass and sidewalks. She doesn't like my extension cords either. I told her I had to have electricity to create the right ambiance for my gear."
Before Jules Keen, owner of the Fern Valley Luxury Camping Resort and president of the town's business council, could answer, Elaine James waddled up to the pair. Her poofy blonde bouffante added about 4 inches to her height. Jules smiled when she thought of Elaine's motto, "The taller the hair, the closer to God." Elaine paused and took a deep breath.
"There you are. I asked your worker, the guy who looks like a young Fabio, only with curly black hair, to start moving your trailers, and he refused. You're in the wrong spot. This is not right."
Elaine set her mouth, and the stare from her deep blue eyes bore into the taller woman.
"We pulled the trailers where your guy in the vest pointed to this morning. I paid for 4 vendor spaces, and you put us in the worst location. My team is doing our best to maximize the potential, and you're being draconian with all these rules."
Tabby whined and glared at Elaine. Elaine glared back and pursed her lips. When she wagged her finger, her whole body, including her tall hair, wiggled like a jello mold.
"Those rules are important. We must have order. Besides, I told you twice that you all were in the wrong spots. You're on Candy Cane Alley with the food vendors. Your trailer should be on the other side, on Elf Lane. You have 4 spots by the stop sign, 2 on each side of the street. It's marked off in green chalk, spots 1 through 4.
"What? You want me to move? My team has already done most of the prep work. And both of my Christmas-themed trailers, the As Seen on TV one and the Big Cat Souvenirs, took forever to get situated."
"No, you can't be on the food vendor's side. It will ruin everything."
Elaine huffed and put her hands on her hips. She puffed out her cheeks, and her fuzzy white coat made her look like a giant snowball.
"I would think you would want the better spots."
Elaine's eyebrows disappeared in her well-shellacked bangs. Trying not to show her impatience and hoping to keep the peace, Jules stepped in.
"Maybe
We could get some volunteers to help you break down and move. I think you'll probably have better sales on the vendor side. You'll be front and center at the entrance. That's a coveted spot. Tappy rolled her eyes, but considered the idea.
I guess we can move if you think the location is better. We've got a bunch of top-tier merchandise. I drove all the way from Berryville for this, so I hope your festival lives up to the hype. If it doesn't, you'll hear about it. And so will everyone else.
The woman turned and stomped down the sidewalk. Elaine made a face. I told her twice that she was in the wrong place. Some people. She threw her hands in the air and bustled off in the opposite direction. Jules was glad to have Elaine's help organizing the festival, but sometimes the owner of the Birds and Bees Nature Store was a little prickly. Elaine brought organization to anything that needed planning, but it always came with a side of drama. Returning to her notes for the upcoming weekend's events, which included 2 concerts, a tree lighting, a parade of lights, and a big cat demonstration by Cal's Cats at the high school, Jules flipped through the pages on the clipboard. The business council team had planned holiday events for the next 3 weekends to draw visitors to town to celebrate the season and help the local businesses end the year with a bang. Jules ran her finger down the schedule. The festival kicked off tonight with concerts at the Baptist and Methodist churches and a performance by the high school drama club of A Charlie Brown Christmas. Friday's plans included a parade of lights. On Saturday, the team planned a big celebration with the grand illumination of the town Christmas tree. Jules was excited the festival was extending the tourist season, and, as an extra bonus at her resort, all of her vintage trailers and tiny houses were booked for the next 3 weeks. She set her clipboard on the notebook and drained the last few drops of coffee. Jules packed her backpack and did a lap around the courthouse to ensure there were no other flare-ups or issues. The spots that Tabby's team had vacated were already filled with new vendors. Food trucks and trailers lined both sides of the street. Soon the town square would be filled with smells rivaling those of any county fair. Jules' mouth watered at the thought of funnel cake and holiday goodies. She crossed the town green in front of the courthouse and administrative buildings. Trailers lined both sides of the street on the other side of the square, too. Brightly colored signs advertised everything from T-shirts to glow-in-the-dark souvenirs. On the corner, Tabby supervised the move of 2 of her trailers. A mountain of a man, who looked like a bodybuilder, guided the last of her 4 trailers in place. Pushing her tortoiseshell sunglasses in her hair, Tabby said,
"Perfect. Thanks, Tony."
She blew him a series of kisses.
"We'll do just fine here."
He ran a hand through his dark curls and ambled off toward the food trucks. "That didn't take long," Jules said as she approached. "I hope you like this location better. The people entering on Friday and Saturday will start here. That should be a primo location for your team."
"I certainly hope so."
Tabby turned and adjusted laminated signs of tiger and lion cubs on the counter of her jungle-themed trailer. A twiggy-looking woman in a blue Tabby's T-shirt under her unzipped ski jacket sauntered over.
"All done, Tabs. My trailer's ready to go. Do you want me to go ahead and open up?"
"Of course. Let's not waste a minute or a customer."
Tabby waved her bejeweled fingers as she talked.
"Jules, have you met Dana Taylor? She helps me on weekends with my booths, and she's been my bestie for more years than either of us wants to count. I can't live without her."
Dana beamed at her friend. "It's nice to meet you." Jules smiled. "You've quite the variety of wares here." Dana flashed a toothy grin.
"I help Tabby find the most interesting merchandise. You have to constantly be on top of what's hot at the moment. Otherwise, you end up with a storage unit full of stuff no one wants. Tabby nodded.
You have to dance on the razor's edge and be willing to take chances. And you definitely have to be ready to strike when something is hot. Fads are fleeting.
That's why she's so successful, Dana gushed. By the way, that tubby woman told me I couldn't open until 5. She said that's when the cops will block off the streets to cars. Dana took off her coat and pulled on an oversized Christmas sweater. Jules did a double take. She hadn't seen heavy-duty shoulder pads like that since the big 80s. Before Jules could speak, Tabby said,
Who cares what she said? I said you could open. Send her to me if she gives you any lip. We're here to make money.
Dana's nasally laugh grated on Jules' nerves. We can take her and that other witchy woman whose name we will not mention. She winked, turned, and strutted back to the trailer across the street. Shrugging off the mean girl antics, Jules continued her stroll around the square. I hope this weekend isn't full of drama and snark. Everything looked in order. Done with the business council work, it was time to check on the new arrivals and her team at the resort and then pick up Jake for this evening's date. Nearing the center of the grassy area, she thought about Jake Evans, her resort's maintenance and security guy, whom she had known since they were teens. He'd worked on and off for her dad for the years before 2 tours in the Army in the Middle East. His homecoming coincided with Jules' return to Fern Valley after her divorce from the idiot. It was the perfect time for a change, a chance to start over. She'd helped her dad restore vintage trailers and revitalize the campground. She had quit her interior design job to make Fern Valley home again after her father passed away, and the resort became her full-time job. As Jules headed toward her silver Jeep Wrangler, a series of loud shrieks and screams interrupted her memories that had turned melancholic. She spun around without hesitation, jogging toward the noise. Tabby and a blonde, buxom woman in a zebra print mini dress with no coat shouted at each other.
You again! You just won't leave my husband alone! Why are you everywhere we go? You're a leech! You're trying to make money off the good work we do!
The blonde stamped her foot and glared at Tabby.
It's a free country, Tabby hissed. I can go to any festival I want to. I'm an entrepreneur. My products are diversified. I don't do just animal things. And I've always been about animal rescue, way before you ever entered the picture. And in case you haven't noticed, people prefer my t-shirts. Not those knockoffs you all are peddling.
Tabby looked down her long pointed nose at the blonde, who stood about a head shorter than she.
And when I say I give proceeds to animal charities, I really do.
Tabby's nostrils flared, and her cheeks flashed from a rosy pink to red.
A lot of our sales go to support animal welfare projects. You better watch your mouth.
The blonde spat out the words like they were day-old sushi.
Give me a break. How much do you really give to charity?
Tabby sneered.
I think fraud is the correct term. You scam people.
She curled her lips into a snarl. The blonde ran her arm across the counter, knocking all the posters and plastic stands to the ground.
This is a sham. You don't support these rescue sites. You're a phony, and if you think you're going to get Cow back, you're dead wrong. I'll make sure of that.
Tabby took 2 steps forward, grabbed the woman by the shoulders, and shook her. The blonde shrieked like a banshee and grabbed Tabby's hair, shoving her backward toward the sidewalk. Tabby teetered in her tall boots and lost her balance. The blonde leapt on her with feline precision, and the 2 women rolled around the sidewalk and into the grass in a jumble of arms, legs, and wild hair.
Before Jules could get closer, several sharp whistle blasts echoed across the green. Elaine James jogged over to the two women and attempted to pull them apart. Within seconds, she was pulled into the punching, kicking, and hair-pulling tumbleweed that rolled across the grass in front of the courthouse. Tabby bit Elaine on the leg. The usually prim and starchy owner of the nature shop punched Tabby in the face. The taller woman scratched at Elaine and rolled off the pile of arms and legs. Tabby covered her face with her hands and screeched, "I think you broke my nose!" A burly man dressed like a mashup of Crocodile Dundee and Jack Hanna picked up the blonde woman and returned her to her feet. She pushed her hair backward and tried to pat it back in place. Grass and dirt stained her mini-dress. She tugged on the hem to cover the important parts that probably shouldn't be on display at a Christmas festival.
"What is going on here?"
The man's voice boomed as a small crowd gathered. Several people recorded the tussle with their phones.
She's here. Why is she always where we are? I can't stand it. She won't leave us alone."
She continued to smooth her zebra dress and pointed at Tabby.
"Ignore her. She's trying to get your goat, and it looks like she's succeeded," he said.
The curvy woman turned and hugged the guy in the jungle guide setup. He patted her back, took her hand, and led her across the street to a tiger-striped, tricked-out Humvee with Cal's cats plastered on it. The giant red letters looked like they had been clawed, and bright yellow eyes peeked out of jungle foliage. Elaine stood and dusted herself off.
"I need to go check on some things. Jules, I'll call you later."
She glared at Tabby, who covered her face with her hands. Jules hoped her mouth wasn't hanging open. The bodybuilder who worked for Tabby hurried across the street.
"Babe, are you all right?"
"I'm fine,"
she shrieked, wiggling her nose with her hand.
"I need to clean up and find some ice before this turns into a massive shiner."
Tabby, who looked more like a cavewoman than a chic entrepreneur, waggled her finger inches from Jules' nose.
"After I calm down, I'll decide whether or not to press charges. I'll let you know."
The large man draped an arm around Tabby's shoulders, but she shrugged him off like a worn-out sweater. She clomped off between the trailers. The man looked around, ran a hand through his longish, jet-black hair, and followed behind the hot mess. The crowd of onlookers drifted back to whatever they were doing. With Elaine nowhere in sight, Jules made a quick exit. She could only hope that tonight's events would be more subdued. This was not how she envisioned the start of the Business Council's first Christmas celebration. Chapter 2. Thursday.
"Come on, puppy. Let's go see what's going on at the office."
Jules' brown and white Jack Russell Terrier Bijou danced for joy when she heard the magic go word. Jules pulled on her coat and grabbed the dog's leash. She and Bijou walked briskly from her cabin at the back of the property, around the vintage trailers, to the large cabin that served as both store and administrative office for the resort. Even Bijou didn't dilly-dally this morning. Jules stamped her boots to knock off the frost on the cement pad under the carport, and Bijou trotted up the stairs, waiting for the back door to open. Hearing voices in the front of the building, the dog tore through the office to the store.
"Hey, sweetie,"
Jules' aunt Roxanne said, picking up Bijou for cuddles and dog kisses.
"Good morning. How are y'all?"
"Good. Everything's set up in town. How are things here?" Jules asked.
"We're booked solid for the weekend. We checked in all the vendors today, and I expect the other guests to check in tonight and tomorrow. Emily's working afternoons and the weekend to cover the desk."
Roxanne, in her stylish baby pink cashmere sweater, black leggings, and signature pearls, straightened the pens on the counter.
Jules' eyes landed on the tall Christmas tree in the corner. White lights twinkled. Burlap and plaid red ribbon intertwined among the branches created a warm, rustic look. Peach baskets full of ornaments representing the Blue Ridge Mountains surrounded the base. Jules tried to showcase area artisans and their creations whenever she could. "The tree looks great," she said, inspecting a hand-painted design of the mountains painted on reclaimed wood.
"Emily helped me with it yesterday. We've already sold some of the decorations, and Lester put up the two trees on each side of the fireplace in the lodge. Mel and Crystal had fun decorating those. We're ready for the holidays."
Roxanne smiled as she rummaged through the drawer under the front counter.
"You guys took care of everything. You've been a tad busy with all the festival planning. We wanted to surprise you, and we thought you could use the help," her aunt said.
"I love it. Yep, I've been a little distracted lately." Before Jules could comment further, they heard a noise in the back. Bijou yipped and ran through the store like the devil was chasing her.
"Hey there,"
echoed from the back room. Jules' handsome security and maintenance guy, Jake, stepped into the store carrying Bijou. The wiggly terrier melted in his arms.
"Hey, back. What are you up to?" Jules asked.
"We finished Kurt Marino's tiny house. Everything's hooked up and he plans to move in soon. Working on his project gave me some ideas for the next one for our village. I'll show you some pictures when you get a minute."
"Send me the pictures of Kurt's house, too, and I'll update your webpage for you," Jules said.
She and Jake had expanded their partnership the previous summer when they'd decided to add tiny houses to the resort's offerings. It gave Jake an opportunity to showcase them as his model homes, and it offered Jules' guests another unique and upscale vacation opportunity. The tiny house craze had many fans and curious guests who wanted to experience it firsthand. Jake set Bijou on the floor and pulled out his phone. After some tapping, he said,
"Done, and thanks. The new designs have a British look to them. You'll have to come up with a theme for them."
Jake stepped behind the counter and looked at the reservation application on the computer.
"Anything going on here that I should know about?"
"Nope, it's all good,"
Roxanne said, straightening flyers for area attractions.
"Got a full house this weekend. Mel and Crystal whipped through all the cleaning for our arrivals, and they started breakfast service at the lodge this morning. It's nice to have a hot breakfast before work."
"I just want coffee today," Jake said, making a beeline for the coffee maker on the counter in the back.
Bijou followed him with the hope of scoring more treats. The bells on the front door tinkled, and Jules pulled the bottom half of the dividing door shut to keep Bijou from being the resort's welcome wagon. The tall man who had interrupted yesterday's melee stepped through the door, followed closely by the blonde who'd wrestled Tabby in the town square. Today, the man sported olive-colored garb. He looked like a guide on Disney World's jungle safari ride. Jules had a flash of panic when she remembered Tabby and her crew had reservations at the resort, too. She made a mental note to see where the two groups were staying,
hopefully far away from each other.
"Good morning. How can we help you?"
Roxanne asked from behind the counter.
"Hi, y'all."
The man took off his safari hat and bowed slightly.
"I'm Cal Collins, and this is my blushing bride, Misty. We're in the bomb house, and we could use some towels."
"Oh, we'll get those right to you," Jewel said. Before she could continue, Misty interrupted.
"I need at least 6 towels, and Cal will need a set or 2. Is there a grocery store in this town?"
"We have some supplies here,"
Roxanne interjected. "If you're looking for groceries, there's the Circle K Market on the edge of town, about 4 miles from here."
"Thank you,"
Cal said as Misty browsed the shelves. Dropping Twinkies, a bag of Hershey's Kisses, and a large container of cheese puffs on the counter, Misty said,
"This should hold me till I get to the store."
Cal laid a 20 on the counter, and Roxanne gave him his change.
"We've parked our trucks and trailers in the field behind the tiny houses. Your groundskeeper said we could leave them back there on the grass,"
he said. "That's fine." Jules moved behind the counter next to Roxanne.
"I have a pair of lions, tigers, and cheetahs, just like Noah."
He chuckled at his own joke.
"And chimpanzees, tiger cubs, cheetah cubs, alligator, and an albino python. My son and his assistants are staying in the cat carrier parked by the cages. I put up some hurricane fencing around the area so people don't wander too close, especially if they hear animal noises. We have to make sure we don't lose any fingers that might get stuck through the bars. However beautiful, the animals are still wild."
Jules felt a concerned look creep across her face.
"Now don't you worry about it, little lady. Like I told you when we chatted on the phone, we do everything we can to promote safety. The cages are locked and we follow every safety mandate. It wouldn't do if our animals ate the audience members. Not good for business."
She attempted a smile. "Please, let me or my team know if you need anything."
"You have a lovely resort. You'll have to come up and visit our place sometime. Cal's Cats is in Verona, off I-81. Come by and I'll give you the grand tour of our wildlife preserve."
"I'd love to see it."
Jules couldn't wait to see the cubs. "We'll drop the towels off in a little while. Anything else y'all need?"
"Nope,"
Misty said, opening the candy and popping one in her mouth. Cal patted his wife's shoulder and followed her out the front door.
"What'd I miss?"
Jake asked, striding into the room as the screen door slammed behind Cal.
"Cal and Misty, the big cat people," Roxanne said, pulling out an emery board and filing her pearly pink nails.
Jules tapped on the computer behind the counter. She let out a long, slow breath. Tabby and her team had two vintage trailers on the other side of the resort. One was a 1940 New Moon decorated in honor of the Final Frontier and the Apollo flights. The other was a 1936 master-built trailer with a rounded roof that she had decorated with all kinds of British royal family memorabilia to mark the year that Edward VIII abdicated the throne and married Wallis Simpson. Jules shook off thoughts of her themed trailers and the possibility of another Misty and Tabby dust-up.
"I'm going to take the towels over to their tiny house and check out the cubs. Anybody want to come?"
Jules pulled out a stack of linens and rummaged through the key box for the master key to the L. Frank bomb house.
"I'll drive you over,"
Jake said.
"Roxanne, we'll be back in a few. Bijou's back here with you."
Jules pulled on her coat and picked up the towels.
"Not a problem. We'll have girl time while you're gone."
Jake took the stack from Jules and held the door. She slid into the front seat of the golf cart, and he jumped in the driver's seat for a quick ride to the edge of the resort. They bumped over the grass and around the vintage trailers to the tiny houses, where Jake came to a quick stop. Balancing the stack of towels, Jules jogged up the steps and knocked on the yellow door. When there was no answer, she yelled,
"Housekeeping!"
She counted to 10 and fished the key out of her pocket. Leaning the towels on one hip, she opened the door to the home sitting room, complete with a widescreen TV for movie viewing and a reading nook in the corner. It took 5 steps to cross the room and leave the towels on the bathroom counter. Cal and Misty had managed to cover the ruby-red couch and side chairs in clothes and hats that looked more like costumes than everyday wear. Jules backed out the door and jiggled the handle to check to see it locked.
"All good?"
Jake asked.
"Yep. It didn't take them long to unpack multiple outfits for a weekend gig."
"Sort of like the Hollywood folk. Those movie people last fall brought a ton of stuff with them. Want to go see the cats?
I thought you'd never ask. I'm such a sucker for baby animals. Jules climbed into the seat next to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?